To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook, Twitter, or MeWe. Good morning. Today's photo of golden fields of wheat with a top of a green tree just cresting over the horizon comes to us from a friend who loves to enjoy God's creation and goodness and loves to share what they have learned about God with others. Although we are months from harvest time, my friend's photo caused me to ponder the finished product of the harvest and what transpires to bring a crop to the point that it is fully grown and ready to be collected and used. Harvested crops really are the product of hope and endurance. A farmer prepares the ground by clearing any remnants of the previous year, fertilizing the land, and then plowing it and planting the seeds. Farmers continue to tend to the crops and monitor their progress and do their best to make sure they are provided for and free from pests and other hindrances to their growth. They may be able to irrigate the land to make sure the crops are watered, but that is all they can do. The crops rely on sunshine and the miracle of growth that is put inside the plants by God. God and man set the conditions for the crops, but the crops are left in the field to wither and die or to grow and flourish. Lately in upstate New York, we have had a mix of days with blistering heat and sunshine and other days with a series of thunderstorms, high winds, and rain that have torn up parts of the countryside, causing trees to be broken, with some being ripped out of the earth by their roots. In the fields, crops are left exposed to the elements and have had to endure hot weeks without rain, where those without enough water begin to wither and fade. During the rain and storms, the winds rip through the rows of the crops, blowing past and around some plants and causing others to break. The changing conditions can cause some of the crop to become weak and die, or the adversity of the extreme weather conditions can cause the crops to become firmly rooted and be strong from their experiences. The crops who endure will produce fruit and will grow golden at the end of their cycle and eventually be harvested by the farmers who place their hopes in them. The golden harvest doesn't come overnight, and it doesn't come easy. The gold must grow. Sometimes on our walk on the path of Christian discipleship, certain themes come up from multiple sources, and you get an idea that the Lord is seeking to encourage or comfort us in some way. One theme that has come up lately and that is appropriate for all times and seasons is that of suffering trials and going through them by walking by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm currently in 2 Thessalonians 2 in my morning Bible study, and consult Warren Wiersbe's commentary for further insights and understanding. And today's study was full of nuggets of truth regarding dealing with adverse conditions of life and how our faith is an anchor that can ground us to endure the blowing winds of adversity and that can grow and become mature through the process of trials. The following are some highlights, literally highlighted, from Wiersbe's commentary. The list I present may seem simple or random, but I assure you that there is profound truth in these insights and that have the fruit of experience and God's wisdom behind them. The first quote from Wiersbe says, "Not only does prayer change people and situation, but so does praise. One of the best weapons of fighting Satan is praise," end quote. We are to pray through our trials and thank God for what he has provided and for his presence. So we are to pray and praise. Another quote from Wiersbe says, "Praise works," unquote. The next quote is, "A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. New believers must expect their faith to be tried because this is the way God proves whether or not their decision is genuine. Faith, like a muscle, must be exercised to grow stronger. Tribulation and persecution are God's ways to strengthen our faith," unquote. The Christian life is not always easy. I like the way he put that, though. The reason why we're tested is because if we fail the test, it shows that our faith wasn't genuine, and we just sort of agreed. The faith that endures is the faith that will stand and is real faith, apparently, according to Wiersbe. I happen to agree. The Christian life is not always easy. Of course, Christ told his followers that the world would hate them like it hated him. The suffering and persecution that we go through will cause our faith to be exposed as false, or it will cause us to depend on God more, which will cause it to grow. Another quote from Wiersbe says, "God never wastes suffering. Trials work for us, not against us. If we trust God and yield to Him, then trials will produce patience and maturity in our lives. If we rebel and fight our circumstances, then we will remain immature and impatient. God permits trials that He might build character into our lives," unquote. Another quote from Wiersbe says, "When a person in difficulty forsakes the Lord and the church, he shows that either he has never been born again or that his spiritual life is very weak. A true Christian who is growing will be faithful come what may," unquote. Our Christian faith and the path of Christian discipleship is fueled by our decision to be faithful. We are to trust the Lord and practice our faith through prayer, praise, Bible study, good works, and service to the Lord come what may. There was some more wisdom presented by Wiersbe in today's commentary than I have space to share today, but I will conclude with Wiersbe asking and answering one of those tough questions regarding our faith. The quote begins, "Why live a godly life if our only experience is that of suffering?" His answer, "As Christians, we must live for eternity and not just for the present. In fact, living with eternity's values in view is what makes our Christian life meaningful today. We walk by faith and not by sight," unquote. Our lives are not only defined by our existence here on earth. We have the hope of the return of Christ, our eternal destiny of living in His kingdom, and the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. With this in mind, we can endure the trials of this life, and when we stay in communion with the Lord by living by faith, He gives us the strength, wisdom, and love to not only persevere, but to serve as an example of His goodness and grace. With Him, we can make it through. And even while we are in the midst of uncertain times or the deep pain of trauma, we can stand in His love to find comfort and offer that love and comfort to others. Those trials in life that we face will cause our faith to grow. The blistering heat of persecution or the storms of adversity that we suffer through will help us to be strong in our faith and will result in a life in Christ that shines forth like gold and cause us to be harvested for use in God's eternal kingdom. This morning's meditation verse is Romans 2:4 from the easy-to-read version. It's probably a paraphrase, but it is the easy-to-read version. Gotta love Bible software. Anyway, Romans 2:4 in that version says, "God has been kind to you. He has been very patient, waiting for you to change. But you think nothing of His kindness. Maybe you don't understand that God is kind to you so that you will decide to change your lives." Today's verse makes no bones about it. God has been kind to us and given us new life through faith in Christ to help us change our lives. God has been very kind to all of us. Through Christ, He has forgiven us of all our transgressions and adopted us into His royal family. His kindness, mercy, and grace has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and our fate to suffer God's wrath to grant us reconciliation and peace with God, and has given us entrance into His kingdom where we will no longer need to fear death. God also has been patient with us, allowing us to live our lives without Him to see just how foolish, hopeless, and futile the ways of the world are. He allowed us to live our lives independent of Him and to suffer the consequences of our own poor choices. When the time was right, and I'm sure we all wish it had been sooner, the Lord saved us from ourselves. But today's verse tells us that it wasn't just for our salvation that the Lord called us into relationship with Him. He calls for us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants us to be holy, for he is holy. If we are sons and daughters of God, we should endeavor to change our ways to God's ways to start showing that family resemblance. When we come to Christ, no matter who you are, there is a lot to work on. Before Christ, we were trained and programmed to live according to the world's ways. Unfortunately, Satan influences the world system to perpetuate some really ungodly philosophies and attitudes. Satan's influences can be seen by obvious immorality, but also are revealed by subtle things like pride, selfishness, self-righteousness, and independence of God. So when we come to Christ, God draws us and encourages us to change. For some, what needs to be changed is obvious, as some besetting sins have plagued them all their lives. For others, offenses of the heart need to be addressed, as God calls us to be kind, forgiving, and loving. Often, believers go about changing the wrong way. They try to do it in their own strength by whipping themselves into submission by the power of their own wills. But while that may work for some, that's not the way that God wants us to do it. We were saved by faith, and that is the way that God provides us for us to change too. While changing our behaviors and thoughts will require some exercise of our wills, the way that God wants us to overcome is by activating our faith, by believing that God has already given us the victory over our struggles, and by believing that all the power and strength that we will need to overcome has already been given to us. So don't think nothing of the kindness that the Lord has shown you. Instead, understand that God's kindness and love was purposeful. God wants you to enjoy an abundant life that is free of all the mistakes and troubling thoughts and emotions that you have suffered from before coming to Him. He loves you enough to not only want you to change, but He also gives you all that you need to change. So take a look at yourself. Choose one thing to give to God. Believe that He will help you to surrender it to Him and follow where the Lord leads you to go. If you continue to have faith in your victory that is given to you by God and continue to walk with Him, somewhere down the road you will discover that your besetting sin has been set aside. You will rejoice, of course, but show the Lord that you understand His kindness by giving Him even more of you to change. Our relationship with the Lord never ends, so why not use what God has given us to experience all that He wants us to have? As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue to share from Dr. Neil Anderson's Victory Over the Darkness, continuing in Chapter 7. Yesterday, they were addressing the red flags of emotions that the red flags showed that people had blocked or frustrated our goals. So today, the section is entitled Wrong Responses to Those Who Frustrate Goals. So the wrong responses, were obviously anxiety and depression and anger were the emotions that were highlighted. And so Anderson gives a little bit more advice on how to deal with people who block those goals or frustrate those goals. So to check out that resource, go to mtforchrist.org. And I invite everyone to check out the discipleship classes, Victory Over the Darkness, and the Bondage Breaker on our podcast, as well as our Bible studies with Arthur and Susanna Sincotti. If you need to contact me for class materials or just want to say hello, my email is mtforchrist247@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening, and God bless you all.